Okay, with Kent Loyd, Waterlog is the short film. He is the director and the producer. It's 4 minutes, Crime Mystery Film Festival. Really interesting film. Kent, you're a stunt person, you're a stunt guy by trade. What
Yes.
motivated you to make this short, like what motivated you to direct this film and get into directing?
Great question. So I've been teaching a stunts for film class for the last 2 years. And as a result, I've gotten a fair number of students, and they've kind of gotten to a point where, like, hey, we've been learning these stunts, we've been learning how to be safe, but we want to
Gotcha.
go and make content. So I challenge all of them to like start making content on their own, and then once it gets to a place that there actually seems to be like a story that's a little bit fleshed out, or at least choreography that's fleshed out, I was willing to hop in and stunt coordinate for them and help them like actually build a little bit more storyline into it and whatnot. And that's exactly what happened in this case is I gave them this assignment. They scrapped their old idea. I came up with something completely new, and then they were like, hey, come on, like see what we got. And I was like, this is fantastic. This has legs. Let's springboard it from here and let's keep on going.
So the funny story about that is that I just had a podcast with 3 weeks ago from a gentleman from Australia who has the same story as you do. He's like an
Really?
accomplished stunt person, and he was teaching classes, and he wanted to make a film with his students.
Cool.
Yeah. So the other side of the world, no, but I mean, it's sort of interesting where like if someone's got the idea, someone else has the idea somewhere else around the world at the same time. So
Yeah.
that's
Well,
interesting.
hopefully, we did make the same film, just two different places in the world.
Yeah, no, it's not even remotely the same film. Different story, different concept. That was more like highbrow, like kind of like yours is grounded, more grounded in reality. That one was more like kind of like a fantasy or like, you know, like kind of like a John Wick kind of thing where like it's not really realistic.
Very fun.
You understand, right? So
Yeah,
yeah.
I totally get it. Totally get it.
And this one's grounded. Like I think was that your guys' attention to kind of make this kind of really intense thriller story?
During the choreographic process, they were like, well, we have all these moments of like intensity. We know that we want to do like a breakaway chair because my students have never done a breakaway chair in the middle of a fight before. And so they came up with the idea of, well, what if we tie her hands and feet up. I was like, okay, well, if you tie them, that's fine. But if you tie them with rope, it's going to be insanely hard to cut. So let's go with duct tape. And then like they pulled me into the process to help previs in the whole thing. And then I was like, okay, so what if we start out the entire thing with waterboarding her? And what if, and then like a week or two later, I was like, okay, guys, hear me out. What if we make this whole thing an auditory experience? What if we mess with the hearing of the person who's technically our hero,
Yeah.
and so we're also auditorially being messed with a little bit. What if we also never reveal the actual face of the heroine until the very end of the film? What if we make sure that those two things are very intact all the way through? And it kind of gives like a suspense feeling. At least I'm hoping it gives a
Yeah, 100,
suspense.
well, and you're also using all the cinematic tools of filmmaking as well, right? Like the sound design and kind of like the emotional experience. Like the your character or characters in the film have even though it's 4 minutes, they have an arc. Each of them have an arc, right? And there's context for the fighting, right? So that's sort of what I meant. It's like your film is grounded, meaning that there's a purpose why these two people are fighting, not just for the fun of it, right? So
Oh yeah. There definitely are those stunt movies out there where it's like, oh, we built the movie so we can show off the fighting,
yeah, exactly.
and we feel like we built the action around being able to have the opportunity to tell a greater story.
Because when
So
you're
yeah.
watching, say someone has no context to your movie, they're watching it, they don't know a fight scene's gonna happen, right? So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. That you're right. That is kind of trippy. For the first like probably minute or so, you don't actually know anything about what's going to happen.
Yeah,
So yeah.
100%. Yeah, you just know that someone's tied up, right? And they're in trouble. So. But you don't know if they're a good bad guy or bad guy or they're a gray area person, right? So yeah.
And that's kind of the fun thing is like I even told the stunt people, I was like, I actually feel like this isn't the end of a movie. I feel like this scene, this 4 minutes, is the beginning of a more full-length movie, and I
Yeah.
feel like flesh that out and it could be really fun.
So are you guys gonna do that?
Oh, we don't have plans for it currently. We have like five other projects in the mix right now. So we're gonna, now that this one's done, we're gonna set this one aside and then come back to it maybe, I don't know, maybe a year or two, and then decide whether or not we want to. But I'd be open to exploring these characters more. I think it's a lot of fun.
So you're gonna make more short films then?
Yes.
Gotcha. With
Absolutely.
your students.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We already have like five on track right now to be made.
So that's amazing because now they have something, they have context to their teachings, right? They have like a reel, right?
Yes. And that's also one of the purposes of the class is to not just get them footage from the gym that they can put onto their reel,
Yeah.
but to actually get what always makes people's stunt reels look better is if they can put the skills that they always wanted to on camera with lighting and characters and all that jazz. And then it makes it look like all the skills that they filmed in the gym, they can replace bit by bit by bit, put them onto the stunt reels, and all of a sudden they become more employable because it looks like they've been in more content in general.
So there's three actors in the film, right? And there's two females, and they kind of are in this, they're the fight scene, the two females, right?
Yes.
They're fantastic. They're actually very good actors as well, because there's that moment in the beginning before the fight where they're in each other's face and she gives her the headbutt.
Yeah.
And which is, how do you do that? First of all, quick segue, how do you do the headbutt without hurting anybody?
Stacking the camera. So the whole
Okay.
idea that between me and this camera right here,
Yeah.
there's a lot of space. And like you can tell that my finger's really close to the camera right here,
Gotcha.
but about right here, this looks like I'm touching my nose. But if I just turn to the side, there's a good
Yeah.
6 to 8
Okay.
inches. So that's what we call stacking the camera. Cameras are really bad at picking up on that. So as long as you go in that space and you give a reaction and then you put a sound effect on top of it, can't tell the difference.
The old depth of field, I guess, right?
Yep.
Okay, so tell me about the lighting situation. Like it's like, 'cause it's very unique lighting. It's dark, but there's like we get kind of like close-ups of the faces, and they're all in like, who did your, and obviously there's like a lot of like the, in terms of the shots, like a very long shot, especially the fight scene. So tell me
Yeah.
about the setting up, like the whole design, the directorial design of the film.
Yeah. So we did a previs first. We shot the entire movie in my fighting gym before we got onto set. What that did was set up all the angles, and then I was able to take that previs and go to my DP. His name's Ibrahim Gayini. We call him Ebby for short. Known him from since high school, so known him easily for 20 plus years. And w as soon as I made this previs, I went, Ebby is going to hate me because of what we're doing. Because there's some shots that we have that are like a full 360. And well, like when we showed up on set, and I showed him the previs and was like, hey, just so you know, we can't do our typical thing of like, hey, let's do a lighting setup over here and then shoot this direction. We have to be lit 360 the entire way around. And he was like, okay.
Yeah.
And so as a result of like, I knew it was going to take multiple hours to get the entire room lit simultaneously. It took us 4 hours just to set up the lights. And so we're like, okay, we're going to start setting up the lights at noon. We're going to shoot day for night. We'll start filming at 4 p.m. And so we blocked out all of the windows in the garage, and we were very fortunate to have windows in the garage. Otherwise we couldn't have had that like ambient blue
Yeah.
nighttime style lighting.
Did you shot, you put those lights outside?
Yes,
Okay.
all of the blue lights were from outside, to try and create that darker feeling. But we also had like 3 or 3.5 walls of windows that we could pump light through, so that was great. And then we kind of took a note from both John Wick and from some like a little bit more like modern noir films, and we wanted to have other colored lighting to help like show off the hobbies of the mafia family of whose garage we were in. And I wanted to specifically make this place feel like it was like a clubhouse slash workshop for that mafia family, where
Yeah.
like it was very clear that somebody was working on cars the entire time. And so like we have that table over there, and we have some under lights under that table to help both light up that wall, give a color difference between the colors that are coming through the windows. But also just give kind of this stark contrast. And then on the other side, we have these like airplanes that are like 6 feet wide. They're like made out of styrofoam, but it also gives like a hobby to these characters other than just like, well, I just work on cars. So we hung those up on the walls, and then we moved everything in the garage around. So like those couches were just already in the garage. And we're like, oh, well, let's fill this in this space, and let's string these LED lights underneath the entire couch line just to give some depth and feel. And so like I thought like, okay, if we can make everything as diegetic as possible, everything feel like the lights are there on purpose, and this is how they would light their own space, because at night when they're done with all their dirty work, they want to pop open a beer, sit on the couch, and then hang out with their friends. That's what I want it to feel like. And then we put that giant tarp over everything else to make it look like a kill room.
Yeah, I
And
was
so that
gonna
was.
say, because there is that tarp, the plastic tarp at the bottom, right? So in case someone murders somebody with a knife or something like that, the blood splatters like Dexter or whatever, it could all get swallowed up, I guess, right?
And so that was twofold. One, I knew that if we put the tarp over the lights that were underneath the couches, it would hide them a little bit, and it would also diffuse them and make them a little bit softer as they shone through. And two, there were so many things that we were doing on that concrete that I was afraid for the actresses, specifically with their elbows and knees, that the entire time that tarp is covering crash pads, beginning to
Which
end.
gotcha. Yeah, because there's a lot of ground, like throwing each other on the ground, and yeah. All
Yeah,
right, movie
hard
magic.
on the floor. So it's just one of those things that, like, once we put all the crash pads down, then we had to like go get gaff tape to cover up all the logos on the crash pads, just to make it sure that it actually fit. And then the crash pads being as large as they were, then we had to go fill with like puzzle mats where all the crash pads weren't, to like raise the entire floor to make it look like it was actually, it didn't have like just this lump in the middle of the floor constantly. So yeah.
And then who did their costumes? Because it kind of obviously it has to contrast to the lighting design you did, right? And they have to look different. The two actors have to be different. They can't look the same, right? Have the same outfit.
Absolutely. We did a giant Savers run, honestly. And we got probably a couple $100 worth of costumes. And on the day of, we just kind of picked and matched, like, say, hey, okay, we know who your character is, we're good to go. And then at least we did that for the main character, the cop, and we did that also with the female mafia member. And we also knew it was like, hey, like your stylistic, like I want you to think Jersey Shore as much as possible for your character. And I told that for the guy and the girl that were brother and sister in that film. But the brother, we planned that one like 2 months in advance, because that man, one, he's the biggest teddy bear you'll ever meet in your life. And I think it really shows off a little bit of his acting range, because like I on set got like truly terrified of him as he was intimidating our hero. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know he had this dark side to him. This is great. But the main character's father is a little bit metrosexual, and so when I said Jersey Shore to her, she was like, I'm gonna raid my father's closet. I'm gonna get everything from in there and just put it onto our guy. And it took us like 2 or 3 weeks, but we finally got to the point where we're like, this is a man who doesn't care about his weight, doesn't care about anything else. But we finally got the look of a guy who's just confident in himself. And I was very happy with him. And he was telling us the entire time, like, I feel like you're pranking me. Like, this is. Like, you're making a joke out of me right now. There's no way that this looks good. I'm like, no, dude, you embody the Jersey Shore right now. And this is exactly what they look like. And it took him like finally seeing the edit to go, oh, that doesn't look bad. I was like, yeah, you just gotta trust us, man. We'll make you look good.
And so is it Ray La J? That's the person, that's the girl who plays or woman who plays the detective.
Yes, Rayla J.
She's fantastic. Like, she is she done acting before? Like, does she have acting experience?
So she's in college right now at Weber State University, she's taken a crack at directing a lot for stage. And she's had some boxing experience, and she's been in the class for probably the longest. She and the other girl have been there since day one, so they've been in the class for over 2 years. So they've got a smattering of jujitsu and boxing and Muay Thai and Krav Maga, and a little bit of Taekwondo, all mixed into their stunt history. And so they had been workshopping that knife stuff But yeah, her acting, she'd had on lock for years and years and years. So I was not afraid about her.
Because that ending scene where like she's just been through the runner, obviously, and she's like sweating and like nice, like whoever did the sweat on her as well, or maybe it was just natural, but like she's just got a little bloody nose and she's just like the long hair, and it's like, okay, we like the audience emotionally attaches themselves to her character like right away.
Yes. And that was the hope. That was the goal, is like when we finally see her face, that we should have that payoff of a, okay, that's a hard one. That's a hard fought battle, and she won. What happened now? Yeah, she did absolutely fantastic, and kudos to her. Also kudos to the first AD I had on set. I told him right from the get-go, his name's Archie Crisanto. He's an acting coach here in Utah. He's also one of the boxing coaches at my gym. But I told him, hey, I have to wrap my head around all of the stunt aspect of this film. I need to direct each of these people individually. And if I have additional notes, I'll hop on, but I'm just going to trust you to direct this. And in between takes, he was sitting down with people, was like, hey, this is the emotional payoff. You got to remember where you're coming from. You got to remember like what your ultimate goal is here. And he just really helped them get the grounded nature, and any bit of acting ability I chalk up to the actors past with their own acting training, and then also Archie helping them tap into that moment right there.
And so then, you, because you did the fight choreography. How long did you guys prepare for that scene? How long did you guys train for it?
We probably train about once or twice a week for about 2 months beforehand. I only hopped into previs probably about 2 to 3 weeks before we filmed. But once I saw like, and, so I was setting all the angles and all that to try and help the story come through. And for me, one of the more impressive things that stunt people can do is do longer takes. Just because it actually shows the fact that they can do the thing. And I wanted those actors to be able to have that for their own reel, so that, because I know stunt reels is like, let's make it as tight as possible, but I wanted them to have the ability to take longer sections without the audience of their stunt reels getting lost. But also, I wanted to add to the tension. And they killed it. They absolutely killed it.
Well, one of them literally, right?
Yeah, one of them gets two kills in the film.
And then one of them gets killed, right?
Yeah. And they had been, honestly, they'd been workshopping that knife death since the beginning of the year. That was like, oh, we gotta figure out something to put this particular come with the knife to the back of the neck, slice through, and then get that 360 spin on the way down. Like, what's a situation where we can build up to that moment? I was like, it's a great question. Let's figure it out.
That's amazing. It's like a really collaborative experience to making this film. Like even you said, your first AD helped you with the direction. Obviously, your cinematographer, did he do the camera operation as well?
Yeah, he tried to get me to do the camera operation for the film, and I just have not been a DP my entire life. I've been an editor, I've been a producer, I've been a director. I've filled in a lot of other seats, but I DP'd the very opening shot of the film. And then after that, I was like, Ebby, I can't handle this glide cam. I can't handle this whole thing. It's way too difficult. I'll show you the previs every single time. As long as you can get this, you're good to go. And I just trusted him because I've worked with him for years.
It's real. It's a nicely photographed. Then the sound design. Like it sees in the credit you did the edit, but you got bringing these sound designers in too. It's like really did a really great job.
The sound design was actually the most difficult part of the process. What we submitted to you was the fifth iteration of completed sound design that we had done. And after the first four, we kind of got the feedback over and over and over again. It's like, hey man, it's still really rough. You got to go back. Like, we're kind of pissing off the audience with our auditory experience. It's like, well, I hate that, but also I want that.
No, but
So,
it's important, right? Because soon as the audience, like soon as there's bad sound, people just remove themselves from the film. Even more than not than even more than video.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. And I feel like the guy who we gave our audio to, I said, "Okay, we're going back to square one. I'm not going to give you all the stuff that I've edited. I'm going to give you the scratch audio for all of this, including all of the sound effects for all the punches and hits that I had imagined for the whole thing. You take it to the next level, and then like a week or two later, he's like, "Hey, come to my space." And he spent like over $400,000 on his entire setup for audio editing. He's like, "Hey, this is what I imagine that we can get to." And we sat down together for like an additional 2.5 hours in person, and he freaking killed it. I loved working with him because it did feel like a true collaboration rather than one of us dictating to the other. We were like going through each moment, each second, even, and going, okay, how can we improve this to make the audio stand out even more than a regular film would? And yeah, Chris totally nailed it.
And this is your first film that you guys did within the like I guess the class the instruction.
This is the first one that's been fully produced. So
First
we've
fully
done some other
produced.
like fight scenes that we filmed
Sure.
inside the gym and then stitched together,
This is the
but
first quote
never.
unquote real film, I
Yeah,
guess.
this is the first one. This is also the first film that I've ever directed that I have not been in as well.
Okay.
And that one was a really d important distinction for me because it was so much easier to get the overall vision when I wasn't in
Sure.
it.
Yeah.
Every time that I've ever been in another project, I feel like there's been some part of the stunt process that's like suffered because I just had to think about acting, or I had to think about hitting my mark, or all
Yeah.
this jazz. And it was really nice to get the separation and put the focus on other people and trusting them to do what they knew how to do and really nail it. And everyone rose to the occasion.
And you're doing it again, right? You're making another film.
Oh yeah, we're again. There's like four or five others that we have in the can right now.
Oh,
We're
they've
getting.
already been shot.
Sorry, not no, sorry, not in the can. We are prevising a rather large project that we just another director came to us and said,
Okay.
"Hey, I've heard about your stunt team. Let's make this John Wick medieval Jack Reacher style fantasy." So imagine all three of those things smashed together.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. And then I have another gal who she's hooked up with one of the universities here, and there's a guy making his capstone project. And he happens to be connected to the CBR stunt team here in Utah, and so they're like, "Hey, can you stunt coordinate for this?" I'm like, "I'm now stunt coordinating for people much above my pay grade. At least I have always felt. I've worked with them in the past and all that jazz, but they only work on SAG stuff." And
Gotcha.
so that one's more of a spy film that's happening. I got the guy from this one. He already wrote the whole thing is more of like a silly film, but it's based around the idea of a husband and a wife trying to figure out where they're spending their time for the holidays. And it turns into a giant pillow fight. And I'm very excited for that one because it gets to be a little bit more Scott Pilgrim versus the World in terms of pop culture references and more of a silly style of action, but still being fun and having an animated where we're going to be putting the pillow fight and making it have like five or six film style changes throughout the entire thing until we can get to the punchline at the end.
Gotcha.
There's a couple more in the can, but those are the ones that
No,
are
but
close.
that you this triggered something, I guess, right? Yeah.
People got to see the BTS of this, and for those of you for those of the people that have actually seen the final film, the hope was to instill confidence here in Utah for people. They're like, "Oh, well, I want to put stunts in my film, but I don't think that there's going to be out there that can actually do it
Do it,
justice."
yeah.
And this is effectively a resume video to
At
put
the
out
same
there.
time, it's a resume video for your class too, right? Like for
Yeah,
your,
a little bit. Yeah. That if you put the time and the work in, then you can make good quality content. That's the hope.
and you got the two female like kickassers, you know what I mean? Like that's pretty cool for And what motivated you to set the festivals like ours? Just get it out there, kind of get, see what people thought of it.
Yeah. So I honestly thought I was just going to put this one on YouTube, and closer I got to finishing the film, I don't want to sound arrogant or anything like that, but this is
You knew you
like,
had something.
I knew I had something. Like, this is the proudest of any film that I've ever worked on in my life. I used to work in the ad industry and making a butt ton of commercials. And I was like, yeah, I help people make more money. Great. Awesome. And it's doing really, really good. But this is the first time I feel like I've actually made somebody feel something with action entwined. And it was like, I think this is something that people are going to want to remember.
Yeah.
In order to get it out there, I was just like, film festivals has to be where it's at. And that's where we discovered yours.
Yeah.
I just went on to Film Freeway and I looked up action only style
Gotcha.
film festivals. And I was like, this sounds perfect. Let's give it a go, see what happens. And
Yeah, you're on your way.
overall,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's a good film. It's a no-brainer acceptance for mini festivals. So, yeah,
Well,
it's perfectly like it's 4 minutes and it's easily programmable. And it's like I think it's for every genre too. Like I wouldn't just like stick with the action genres. I would like get it out there, see what the other festivals have to say about it. So
no, thanks. I'll definitely give that a shot.
yeah. All right, man. Well, congratulations on the film. I'd love to see the next ones. I want to see them, like, because I want to see what you do next, because this one's fantastic. And I wish you the best of success in Utah and your class.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Excited to see what other competition we're going up against in this one. This will be really cool.
Cool. Thanks, man.